a good ball played in for Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it!
Hello, good evening, Aston Villa fans, and welcome to the Villa Forever podcast. I am your host, Chad Williams. Please subscribe, help me to the road to 2K, make sure to give me a follow on all socials, and follow me on Spotify, Apple and Amazon Music. Let's spread awareness of Duchenne muscular dystrophy. On this evening's very special interview episode, I'm joined by my special guest, Ian Tyler, who is a former Aston Villa midfielder, Aston Villa legend, pundit, and club ambassador. He spent 15 years in his Premier League and league career, scoring 103 goals in 577 league appearances. For Aston Villa, he scored 42 goals and made 233 appearances. He scored in the 1996 League Cup final. He played for Villa for 9 years, from 1994 to 2003. Today, Ian is still heavily involved with the football club. He's been an ambassador since 2011, and on European games and away games, he's known for getting involved with fans partying and celebrating, and he has scored some very important goals for Villa as well. There's only one Ian Tyler. One Ian Tyler. There's only one Ian Tyler. Friends of the show, Ian, how are you?
I'm good, Chad. I'm good. That's some build-up, that is, by the way.
Oh, cheers.
Done your research. I like it. Yeah, that was the Witten Arms of the week, wasn't it?
The pleasure to meet you, Ian.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It was a great night. We had great special guests.
Yeah, it was a good night. It was a good night, and really good to meet you, pal.
Yeah, I really appreciate that you came over to me. And you met my mum and my carer as well.
Oh, yeah, I met everybody, didn't I, mate? Met everybody, which is nice. But now I do my best to say hello to everybody, and you know, I've ended up sort of knowing half the fan base, to be fair. You spot the same faces when we go away and at games and at home games, see them everywhere. So just got to know everybody.
Well, Ian, we'll get into the interview then.
Yep.
So what was it like when you growing up in Birmingham? What was football part of your life from an early age?
Do you know, Chad, growing up in Birmingham, I grew up in, I was born in Handsworth, but I lived all over Birmingham. Just was brought up by my mum and two brothers. And, you know, I lived in Yardley, Borsley Green, Sheldon. And I've lived in the Black Country growing up. I've lived everywhere. I was a bit of a gypsy when I was growing up, to be fair. But but yeah, it was one of those where I didn't have a footballing family, well, parents anyway. So I literally had to pick a team in the Midlands, and I ended up picking Villa. And you know, there's only a few people that know that I did go to Birmingham a few times, and I went to Villa a few times, but I chose.
And you chose Villa, luckily.
Yeah, luckily, mate. I just fell in love with the place when I came down, and it was the years of you know, Tony Morley and Gary Shaw and Gordon Cowans, and that's what made me fall in love with Villa.
You're Aston Villa, I think. They say it chooses you.
Yep, that is correct.
Does it? I mean, also like in them days, in them times, you would actually like watch other teams. Well, no, you would stick to one club. Years ago, with your mates, you'd go and watch Team Villa and Blues or whatever week.
But that's that's what happened. In those days, you could go in at half time for free. Or, you know, midway through the second half. And we used to catch the last half an hour or what. And like I said, I just went down Villa and we carried on doing it. That was the days before I started playing anyway, because I was playing kids football then and never having the dream of being a professional footballer, but just playing to enjoy it, playing down the local park and then started playing for some of the local teams. And it's funny because I still see some of the lads that I used to play with when I was a kid because I'm still in the area. And
do you keep in touch with us?
I wouldn't say keep in touch, but because of social media and that, you get the odd messages. And it's weird, like when I used to play for Moor Green, the non-league team, some of the lads have started up a WhatsApp group to get together and have a reunion. So I think I'll be trying to get to that this year.
So football's always been a big part of your life since growing up. Did you used to kick around the ball when you were younger and stuff?
Like I said, I used to live in, it's probably when I started living in Bordesley Green, there was a place called the Ritz Park, at the bottom of our road, where we used to all go and play football. We ended up playing like 20-a-side most Sundays. And everybody used to congregate down there, and it was before we had mobile phones and all that kind of stuff. Just as I say that, my mobile phone goes off, but I'll turn that off. But you just used to go and knock on people's doors and ask them if they were going to come and play football, and then it just got to a stage where everybody knew that we were going down on a Sunday at a certain time, and everybody just turned up. So we just started doing that.
And you know, video games and stuff in there. There's not social media. There's nothing like that around there.
No, nothing like that. You couldn't even text somebody to say, are we going down the park to play football? You just turned up at a certain time and you knew everybody was going to be there. So, you know, sometimes we'd even be playing and people had just turn up and join whatever side they wanted to be on. So it's... No, it was good old days, mate. Good old days.
Well, I used to live in Birmingham. I used to live in Hodge Hill.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We used to play against Hodge Hill school because I used to go to a school called Washwood Heath, which was, and Hodge Hill were our local rivals, to be fair.
Yeah. Oh, well. That's amazing. So how did your love of Aston Villa start? And I did see actually that you used to stand in the whole tent, you did.
Yep, like I said, those days when we used to go down at half time and whatever, yeah, you could get in the whole tent for free. So we used to do that. And like I said, it was the time when Villa won the league and won the European Cup. That was when I first started to get involved in watching. And Gordon Cowans was my hero. I used to love watching him play, and you know, it's such a pleasure to be able to have.
Do you remember 1982?
Yes, I'm that old, Chad. I am that old. Believe it or not, I am that old. But that was the when I was a kid. That was the team that I watched when I was growing up. But great times.
I mean, you're always a lot of those players. Gordon Cowans, you know, like Peter Whiff.
Yeah.
Gary Shaw, you know, Dennis Mortimer.
Yeah, it's a fantastic team, mate. Fantastic team. And, you know, we won the league with limited amount of players as well, you know, which is unheard of, really. But no, what a team. And, you know, to this day, the only team that's ever won the European Cup. And yeah, they'll be heroes forever, won't they?
So let's get to the next question then. So, did you dream you was going to play for your boyhood club? And when did you know you was going to be a footballer?
Do you know, we all dream about playing for a boyhood club, but I never thought it would happen. You know, I didn't turn professional till I was like 23, 24. So I thought my chance had gone of being a professional footballer, although I didn't dream of being one. So, yeah, it was nothing. I never thought I was good enough to actually be a professional footballer. And funny enough, there was a lot of players who I played with at school who were better than me. But I don't know, that for one reason or another, they didn't make it. I actually went to school with a lad called Julian Dix, who used to play for Birmingham. Yeah. And West Ham later on, and me and him played in midfield. So you know, we had a good midfield partnership. And he was already on Birmingham City books when he came to our school because he was born in Bristol, and they brought him up from Bristol. So we played together, and it was just funny, you know, later on in our careers how we ended up playing against each other. It's weird.
So it's playing for your boyhood club, but such a big club like Aston Villa, but you really like someone over the years, including you. There's also got me a Bonderhall, Jack Grealish, all getting the dream to play football at Aston Villa.
Yeah, it's just that much more special, isn't it? Being local and being able to play for your local team that you supported as a kid. And, you know, I still talk about how things happened and sliding doors moments in my life. And, you know, there's a little bit of luck involved where I ended up playing for Villa, but I wouldn't change it for the world. And, you know, people ask me now about how I ended up at Villa, and I owe a lot to Brian Little, who was my manager at the time, and he tried to sign me before I went to Villa when he was at Leicester, and I turned him down, believe it or not. but yeah, because he was at Leicester at the time, and I chose to go to Sheffield Wednesday. But yeah, as soon as he came to Villa, he still had me in his thoughts and wanted to sign me. So yeah, I owe him a lot.
He always gives so much passion. Because I've been Villa through and through. And also, every time you put on that shirt, you go 110%.
Yeah, you know, Chad, I did that for every team I played for, to be honest, and that was a big part of my game. So, and that's something that I always did anyway. But it was just extra special with it being Villa. And, you know, you ask anybody who plays for the local club there, you give that little bit more, don't you? And it's just that bit more special, especially when you've got your family and friends and everybody there watching you. So, yeah, it's just that little bit more special.
You must be very proud of your family, and you must be very proud.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, when you've not only played for your boyhood club, but actually achieve things and, you know, created memories for fans. I think I mentioned it on that night in Witten about it's all about making memories for fans, isn't it? And, you know, years later, fans still talking about particular games and the way you played and everything and results. And that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah. So watching football when you was younger, who did you watch on TV? I think you previously mentioned it, but who did you look up to mostly?
Yeah, like I said, Gordon Cairns was one of my favourite players, just because, you know, he wasn't the biggest in the world, but he loved the tackle, but he was quite silky and skillful as well. he was a great all-round midfielder, and probably should have played more for England as well. But he was just somebody that I looked up to because he could do everything, and as a midfield player, and I loved watching him.
Yeah, he was a special player. Also, years later, then he did some coaching roles there as well.
Yeah, yeah. I was lucky enough for him to be briefly a coach as well when I was playing. So, I got the had the advantage of listening to him as well. So that was great. After I picked my jaw up from seeing him being a coach for me, then that was brilliant. Yeah.
So talk to me about your memories from your time at your previous clubs, including Moor Green, Port Vale and Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, well, I think Moor Green gave me a fantastic grounding because, playing in non-league, that definitely toughens you up and keeps you grounded, like I say. And coming from such humble beginnings, it makes you value the rest of your career that little bit more. And I played with some great lads that I still see now and again. Even lads that I played against, you remember each other, and you bump into people now who used to play against you, and they have massive respect for what you've done. So on that side, that's really good as well. But I just got at Moor Green. I had a good manager as well, who guided me in the right way, called Bob Faulkner.
Yep.
He was no longer with us, but he guided me in the right way and gave me advice and helped me shape my early career. And again, with Moor Green, we won things and achieved things, which was it's always good to look back and say that you've actually won something with you.
Because as a career, you want to win trophies.
And that's it. And we had a good side, and even when I left, we left. My last game for Moor Green was actually winning a trophy, so which was good, and that kind of shaped my career. So because that last cup final, there was a lot of scouts there, and one of them was manager at the time of Port Vale, John Rudge, who kind of accosted me in the car park and said he wants me to come and sign for him. So, but then, I had a few other teams that wanted to sign me at the time, some from higher divisions as well, who offered me more money. But I chose to go to Port Vale because I thought that I'd have more chance of getting straight in the team. They were in League Two. Sorry, mate.
You spent a long time at Port Vale, a few years at Port Vale.
Yeah, it's two years I was at Port Vale.
Sheffield Wednesday then.
Yeah, 2 years I was at Port Vale. Again, we got promotion and won a trophy, which was great. And I scored 35 goals in two seasons, and that sort of pricked the ears up of a lot of Premier League teams at the time. That was when the Premier League was just beginning.
Yeah.
And Sheffield Wednesday came in, and I thought, I looked at the players that were there at the time, and there were some amazing players there, Des Walker and Chris Waddle, David Hurst, Chris Woods. There's some really good players there, who England internationals. And I was walking into that dressing room after just having 2 years as a professional. Do you know what I mean? So I was crapping myself, Chad. I'll be honest. I'll be honest, walking in that dressing room. But the likes of Des Walker, they took me under the wing and showed me the ropes. And it was brilliant. Loved every minute of it, although I wasn't there that long.
Yes. When I think of Premier League players, in the Premier League era, I think you come under at this test, I don't know, I think.
No, yeah. I did all right, Chad. I did all right. But like I said, I wasn't at Sheffield Wednesday that long, and it didn't really work out for me there because I was being played out of position. And then Brian Little came in because he'd come to the club and he remembered me from before and wanted to sign me straight away. So, you know, there was no hesitation then, Chad. I just said, I'm off. where do I sign?
So how did your transfer to Aston Villa happen? And how did you fail to sign for Aston Villa?
Oh, I was over the moon, mate. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. Like I said, as soon as my agent told me that Villa had come in, I didn't worry about how much the money was or anything. It was a no-brainer. And I was like, where do I sign and get me there now kind of thing. And Guy Whittingham, who was at Villa at the time, was a striker. He went to Sheffield Wednesday because they needed
a swap.
Yeah, it was a swap and some money as well. But that's the way it happened. They needed a striker. Brian wanted to sign me, so Guy Whittingham was the bit in the middle.
That's a good thing. It was a million transfer fee, I think. But
yeah.
It's add-ons on it, I think, as well, I think.
Yeah, I'm yet to see those add-ons yet, Chad. But I wasn't worried about those. But a million quid doesn't sound a lot these days, does it? But,
oh no, compared to what the things are about.
Yeah.
The price tags.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, really, isn't it? But it's the way the game is at the moment.
Yeah. So, what was your relationship like with Brian Little? And how did it feel not only winning the 96 League Cup final, but scoring in it as well?
You know, Chad, it couldn't, the way it happened so quickly as well, because it was literally the second season I was at Villa. Firstly, you know, Brian was brilliant. Coming in for me and signing me, but I was thinking at the time, a lot of Villa fans were thinking, who the hell's he seeing Taylor? Do you know what I mean? So I was a bit nervous because nobody knew anything about me, and I'd literally come out of non-league like 2.5 years before, or 2 years before, to be fair, and I was actually watching the 94 final against Man United.
Yeah,
as a Port Vale player,
that's incredible.
I know, the year before, which is crazy, and then I'm playing in the same final the next year, and it's nuts, really.
It's meant to be. I think things happen for a reason.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah, I know. But to score in it as well, and to be so dominant in the final, like I said earlier about memories, people who were at that game still talk to me about it now, and it's you know, something to be proud of, and I'm dead proud that I was able to do something like that.
Well, it was a beautiful goal that you scored. It was on the volley.
Chad, it was all right. It was all right. It was slightly off my shin, I must say.
Yeah.
And it was my left foot swinger. My left foot swinger. Yeah. But it's one of those when it's coming out of the sky and it's coming towards you. And I just had the confidence to hit it first time with my left foot, which for a cup final, to do something like that, yeah, it takes a bit of bottle, but I just went for it. Just went for it, and luckily it nestled in the bottom left hand corner. So I was away and celebrating.
And some top players, including Paul McGrath, amongst the door at York, Mark Bosnich, you know, Draper. You get so many top players in that team. A great team to play.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because Brian Little had literally only just put that team together. And and we managed to get to a cup final, and we got into Europe that year, and it was such a great occasion, and to be able to achieve what we did was fantastic.
And think, like, that was the last time that Villa won a major trophy. It's too long.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it. One sec, mate. Sorry, mate. That's my family having a match. Go on, mate. Sorry.
You're talking about Mick McGraw and Dwight, your great players.
Like I said, we had Brian Little had assembled a really good team, and back then he was one of the few that played free at the back as well.
That was the last time we won a trophy, which would actually be 30 years March.
You're making me feel old now, mate.
I don't remind you about your age. That was the year I was born, 96, actually.
Oh, all right, Chad. Thanks very much. like I said, it literally only just put that team together, and we got to and we won a trophy, which was, you know, a lot. To be fair, that's forgotten, really, that he actually did that. That he'd only just put that team together. So I'd forgotten about it myself, really.
Well, I think with Unai Emery, I think that would top it off for me, I think. If you could get McGinn and Unai Emery lifting the Europa League or something like that, that would be just incredible.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. I think he's assembled a really good team, and I think, you know, we had a little bit of a hangover at the start of the season, but, you know, we're getting things together now. I think there's a little bit of disappointment about not getting into the Champions League again last season, and, you know, the games that we lost towards the end of the season as well. We, you know, the Palace game and the United game, I think we had hangovers from them as well. Not just as a team, but I think as a fan base as well. So, but I think
it's a real good momentum, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we're over that now, I think. Well, hopefully, touch wood. And hopefully now we can push on. And, you know, in the last few weeks, we've done okay. So let's see where we can end up this season.
Well, let's get to the next talking point now. So, as a player, what was it like playing in European nights?
Oh, it's amazing. I think anybody knows, as a fan, what European nights are like at Villa Park under the lights. There's no better atmosphere for me. Played in some amazing games in Europe for Villa. And, you know, there's a couple that stand out. You know, there's the Steaua Bucharest that I played in and scored. And, you know, there's Atletico Madrid game.
You scored in that game?
Yeah, I had a great run of scoring in the European games, and they were quite good for me, especially the ones at Villa Park, and just loved playing in them. Loved playing in them.
It's special because I was lucky enough actually to go to Champions League nights at Villa Park, and I mean, like, there's some great memories there, including doing some Bayern Munich, you know, PSG.
Yeah.
Yeah. The memories, and I thought that's what you want as well. You know, usually films, memories.
Exactly. And, you know, that's what I've said before, isn't it? And you remember those games, and you tell your grandkids about those games and your kids, and the games you remember. It's a shame, really, because, like, now a lot's put on where you're finishing in the league and whatnot. And a lot of the time, you don't remember where you finish in the league. You remember particular games, don't you, and particular nights. And people still talk about some of those European nights that I played in. And, it was just great to be part of.
Because after the Atletico Madrid game, scored the equaliser, was it Stan Collymore, he got the winner?
Dan Collymore scored an unbelievable goal against Atletico Madrid. I mean, we went out on away goals that night, and the atmosphere, Chad, was one of the best that I've ever been at. But when Stan scored that goal, the roof came off the place, and it was unbelievable. And we played in some brilliant games in Europe. But the memory of Stan sticking that ball in the top corner against Atletico was something else.
Because I think the night time games at Villa Park, if it's Europe on night time, always extra special, I think.
Yeah, for some reason, the atmosphere was just unreal. Don't know whether it's because most of the fans were tanked up during the day or what, but it's brilliant. Honestly, it was so special to play in. And now, to, like you say, some of those games last season, Bayern Munich was the PSG game, the unbelievable and fantastic atmospheres, and we want to see more of those.
So what are your memories of John Gregory and losing in the FA Cup final against Chelsea?
Do you have to bring that up, Chad? I'd erase that from my memory, to be fair. Do you know, it was a little bit like the Palace game where we lost, and you know, where we knew we had a good side, we were good enough to win the FA Cup, but we just didn't turn up on the day.
Was it Di Matteo?
Yeah, Di Matteo. I remember it. It was a free kick, come over, David James went to catch it, dropped it, and Di Matteo just put it in. And it was one of the worst FA Cup finals ever. But
we haven't come since 1957.
I know. And like you said earlier, it's about time that changed. The cup competitions, you know, down the years, we've done well with the FA Cup, but it's like you say, it's way back then, isn't it? So it's about time that we did something in some of the cup competitions. So hopefully, you know, we can do something this year.
So what is your favourite goal you have scored? And what is your proudest moment playing for Aston Villa?
There's one answer for both of those questions, and that is my first game at Villa Park, where I managed to score in front of the Holt End on my home debut. We beat Chelsea 3-0, and putting that claret and blue shirt on for the first time at Villa Park and scoring and winning with all my family and friends there was you couldn't have written it any better. Honestly, it was brilliant. And that will be my proudest moment for sure.
The first game is always what you remember, but scoring it makes it you made it even better.
Yeah, it's unforgettable. I mean, the very first game was Arsenal away. You know, if you remember that nice red and green and black striped kit with Muller on the front, that old school kit. That was my first shirt that I wore away at Highbury.
What's your shirt?
What was that, mate?
I liked the retro shirts.
Yeah, a lot of people wear them now. A lot of people wear them, and I think it's great that they're still selling them, really, because a lot of people do buy them. So, because they've got memories of where they were when those shirts were being worn, don't they? And particular games. So, I think it's great that they've got the retro shirts being sold. But
I always remember you wearing the LDV van shirt.
Yeah.
Remember that? And was it Rover? One of them was Rover, I think, as well.
Yeah, Rover.
LDV. Dora, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was around sort of late 80s, wasn't it? Late 90s. late 90s.
Yes.
When you were about two. But good memory, great memories, really good memories.
What was Graham Tyler like? And did you expect to be released from the club?
Graham Tyler was great because at that stage I started to pick up little niggly injuries, and it was one of those, whenever I was fit, he played me because he liked my kind of player. But I just wasn't consistently fit, you know what I mean, Chad? So it was difficult for him to keep playing me, and I'd play a few games or half a dozen games, and then I'd pick up an injury, and then I wouldn't play for four or five games. And,
did you get more injury prone as you got older then, Mike?
Yeah. You ask any professional footballer, you know, as you get older, not even footballers, to be fair, as you get older, your
limbs in general,
your body starts letting you down, and it was frustrating for myself because I think when Graham Tyler got there, I was 32, 33. Okay. So, I was in the latter stages of my career, which didn't help. But and you kind of know when you get to that age that your days are numbered. So especially when I was picking up injuries because they just couldn't rely on me. So, it was one of those where, you know, I knew it was kind of coming, but it was still horrible to get those words and say, you know, we're not renewing your contract.
Did you wish that you could have stayed longer at Aston Villa? Do you think it's the right time?
Yeah, to be fair, you know, you wish that you could stay, but you know, your heart saying that you want to stay, but your head saying that it is time to go. But it was weird actually, because when I left Villa, it kind of made me look after my body that little bit more. And I trained and did other stuff outside of training in football to make myself that little bit fitter. So when I left and went to Derby, I pretty much played all the time when I went to Derby because I was doing that little bit extra to get myself on the pitch. And it's funny actually, Jay, because like one of my first games for Derby when I left was against Villa. it was a pre-season friendly at Pride Park at Derby. And I only scored the winning goal, didn't I, against Villa.
That's typical.
Which was weird. And I had both sets of fans singing my name, which was weird to hear, but it was really nice at the same time.
The thing is, you can go up with your head high, but you don't look at your career. You did what you could. You got up there.
Yeah, mate. Honestly, I was dead proud of my career. Dead proud of what I achieved, not just at Villa, but at all the clubs that I've been at. Even when I went to Northampton at the end of my career, Colin Calderwood, who I'd played with at Villa, he was manager at Northampton, and I was gonna retire after I finished at Derby, because I had 2 years at Derby, but he persuaded me to go and play for Northampton when I was 30.
Did they get promoted then or something?
That's right. I was 35 when I went there. And he persuaded me to go, and he said, look, we just need that little bit of experience. And I went there, and like you say, we got promoted, which was brilliant at the end of my career. So, like I say, I've got a special affinity with pretty much all the fans of the clubs where I've been. So, I was captain at Derby as well, and which was great. Played with the likes of Tom Huddleston in midfield, who was 16 when he made his debut. I was nearly twice his age. Nearly twice his age, and we were playing in midfield. But that was a great experience as well. But, you know, even the last game at Northampton, when I was going to retire, a load of Villa fans turned up to see me off, which was fantastic as well. Yeah. Never forget that. Never forget it.
We're going to a two final questions. So when did you... But when do you know it was time to retire from football? When do you know the time was right? And did you enjoy being a pundit and club ambassador?
You know when it's time to pack in playing football, when the youngsters are running past you and taking the ball off you, and you can't keep up in training anymore. But I think I was getting up for games, but the training, and I was travelling to Northampton every day, which wasn't great. But yeah, you've just been tired, Chad. Just been tired.
Yeah.
And, you know, playing games was great, but then the training was getting a bit mundane, and you get to the stage where you think, oh, I don't really want to do this anymore. But you
need to have good fitness.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
You're running around the pitch for a long time.
Yeah, I know. But it still gets to you when you're 37, mate. But you look back and you do think, you want to play on for as long as you can, because you're a long time retired. And I must say, when I first retired, I did miss it a lot. But being an ambassador and going into the ambassador role and being in and around football.
Since 2011, you've been an ambassador.
Yeah, because, it was an idea. I saw somebody else as an ambassador at the club, and there wasn't too many at that time. And I said to Paul Faulkner, who was the CEO at the time, I said, what do you think to me being an ambassador for the football club? Because they didn't have one at the time. And he said, okay, what does that look like then? What do you think you can do? And I explained, and he said, yeah, okay, then let's go for it. So and I've done it ever since, like you say, and really enjoy it, really love.
It's nice that you got like a real special connection with the football club and the fans, which is nice.
Yeah, because I try and keep that balance, and you've got to be able to balance the two things, really. And hopefully I've been able to do that, being able to represent the club home and away, and get the old shirt and tie on, mate, which is
I can see what you get up to. I saw the European away games.
Yeah, that's... I get roped into all that by the likes of you.
I actually like a good drink as well.
Yeah. Do you know, it's mad because a lot of the time I've just been with my mates, and, you know, there's a few occasions when I've gone not even representing the football club, but, you know, as soon as I walk in somewhere, everybody starts singing Taylor, Taylor, give us a song. And as soon as I do, all the phones are out and it gets everywhere, doesn't it? So, but it's good fun, mate, and the fans love it. And it adds to the away trips and stuff. And it's gone down really well, and that's what you want, really.
Because even as a fan, do you follow your team or everywhere? Like, so not just the player, then as a fan as well?
Yeah, because like you say, I'm a fan, mate, and I've got loads of mates that are fans, and we love going to the games together. You know, even the home games, we've got a little mini bus that takes us all to the games from our village, and we all go as mates. So I obviously have my role on match days, and I leave them for a bit, and then see them after. Do you know what I mean? And it's and it all fits in quite nicely. So, you know, I really enjoy it, and I love doing it. Love that connection with the fans.
You're a party animal?
I'm not a party animal, Chad. I'm not. Those days are gone, mate. A lot of what you see is just a little snapshot.
Also, Ian, as well, Jimmy the Pundit on TNT on Sky Sports. What's pundit work like?
You know, I love it. I love, I do enjoy it. I do enjoy working on the channels that I've done before. I do a lot for Villa TV as well, and do a lot of commentary on that. I really enjoy it. Like I said, it's still been involved and part of the football club and part of football.
You do the Europa League coverage.
Yeah, I've been doing that. I did nearly all of the Champions League games last season, which was brilliant. Lost my voice on a lot of them, but that was really enjoyable, mate, being part of that. But I really enjoy it, and hopefully the people that listen to it can enjoy it as well.
So we've gone to a final question. So what is your thoughts on Unai Emery? And what do you expect for the Liverpool game?
Well, Unai Emery, I think he's one of the best managers on the planet. He's done an amazing job.
I agree.
Amazing job at the football club since he's come in. We couldn't have asked for a better manager after what happened with Steven Gerrard. I think the owners have got to take a lot of credit as well, because you know, they just went out there and wanted to get the best. And at the time, Unai Emery was the best available. So I think that was a masterstroke getting him in.
There's nobody else better out there, I don't think.
Not right now. When you look at the top managers out there, there's not many. And I think to do what he's done in such a short space of time and get us into the Champions League at the time was unbelievable, because I don't think anybody else could have done it, really. But he's done a great job, but I don't think the job's finished. I think we're only part of the way through it.
And there's still more to come for this Villa.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's still a lot more to come. And I think there's still more of the ride to go on, mate.
Definitely.
And as far as Liverpool goes, I think it might be a good time to play them, to be honest, because they're not great.
Because they're in Liverpool, they're not just so.
Yeah.
They lost to Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I saw that game.
They're in
poor form, but you still can't be complacent about it.
No, you can't.
It is going to be at Anfield. They will be under pressure, no doubt about it.
They want a reaction, don't they? Liverpool want a reaction.
Yeah, I mean, albeit that they played a reserve team or a shadow side against Crystal Palace, but they're at home. They're going to be under pressure. They've lost how many games in a short space of time. Yeah. So, I think, you know, we can go there and frustrate the crowd and maybe sneak a win. So, you know, I wouldn't go against us.
Come on, City, go. We need to play with that same intensity. Like, that's what we've got to do against Liverpool.
Yeah, and I think, games like the Man City game, where, you know, there are a lot of people up and down the country who didn't think we could get that result. But hopefully they'll think the same when we go to Liverpool. And I really do think we can sneak something.
Yeah. The confidence is really high.
Yeah.
Really and, good
and we're getting better and better with every game now. I think, like I said, we've got over that slump and the sloppy start we've had. The likes of Morgan Rogers and now finding the form. And, you know, we forget that we're missing Tielemans still, who's a big part of our midfield. So
we've got Nottingham. I mean, Onana's making a big difference as well.
Yeah. It's, he needs a run of games to stay fit. And I think we'll see the best of him, because I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. I think there's a lot more to come from him. So, you know, he'll relish playing at Liverpool as well, being ex-Everton. And, I'm looking forward to see a lot more from him.
But, Ian, I just wanted to say, I'm really enjoying interviewing you. Probably one of my favourite interviews I've done.
Oh, thanks, Chad. And you're one of the best interviewers I've ever had, all right?
Oh, thank you.
Just send me the check, all right?
We have to go for a drink sometime.
Hold on a minute. You're telling me I'm a party animal. You're worse than me.
I'm in Australia.
You're worse than me.
Yeah, definitely. We're done by Dan or something, maybe.
Yeah. No, Chad, it's been a pleasure, mate. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you, everyone, for watching. If you enjoyed this podcast, please remember to make sure to subscribe. Make sure to smash the likes. Make sure to give it a share on your socials. If you're listening to the audio, make sure to leave us a good review. That always helps. Also, let me know your thoughts in the comment section. Thank you so much for your time, Ian.
No problem, Chad. Thanks for having me on, mate. Like I said.
We're going to wrap up this episode. We've been a forever, as always. And up the hill up.